you have your Bibles this morning, would you find the second book of the Bible? The second book of the Bible is the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 2 will be our text today. Also, if you wanted to get a little bit of a head start on me, you could find Hebrews chapter number 11, Exodus chapter number 2, then go almost all the way to the back of your Bible, and you come to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I really want to be a blessing today to everyone, especially to our mothers. And I've been praying for the service, thinking about the service, asking God for direction, asking God for the message, asking God to use me. And I love mothers. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, when you're the pastor of a church and you're under the age of 40, you have a lot of mothers. I have a lot of mothers. And I love my mom, and I love those of you in here that look after me like my mom, and I love mothers. The longer I counsel and meet with mothers and begin to hear the depths of a mother's heart, the more I really begin to appreciate mothers. Many times as the pastor, I get to experience the joys and highlights of motherhood with you, and sometimes I have to walk through the valley with you in the depths of those troubled days. And I have been with mothers when we have cried tears of joy, and I have been with mothers when we have cried tears of sadness. And I want to preach today a message on motherhood, and I want to preach a message today entitled Mothers, Earth's Greatest Influence. Mothers, Earth's Greatest Influence. I said that very slow so you would not think I said Mother Earth. We understand that God created this earth, and it's not Mother Earth, it's God the Creator. In the last few days and weeks of our country, motherhood has become a national conversation. It is being dragged into the political arena of our nation, and I'm sure that we are not done hearing about it. But I want you to know that the Bible has a lot to say to a mother. The Lord loves mothers. I believe they have a special place in His heart. And I believe that one of the blessings and benefits of motherhood that I'm not sure is fully understood is the amount of influence a mother has. They have tremendous influence. When you listen or read the great leaders or the great patriots of our country, and you read what we would be considered to be the successful and the famous, many of their testimonies go back to their mother, whether it goes positive or negative. Mother, mom, you do have influence. Please understand you have influence. Pastor, I look at my life, I look at my children, I look at the things that I'm going through, and I'm not necessarily, I see much influence. Well, it doesn't matter what you see with your eyes, I'm going to show you what kind of influence the Bible says that you have. You can trust the Bible over your own vision. Earth's greatest influence is a mother. Look, if you would, in Exodus chapter 2, verse number 9, we'll find our text here in this one single verse, and then I'll tell you the story. The Bible says, "And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And so the woman took the child and nursed it." In reading the verse alone, you may not fully understand, but I submit to you today that Exodus chapter 2, verse number 9, is one of the greatest verses in human history that has ever been written. Somebody define history appropriately, I do believe, as His, speaking of God, story. Exodus chapter 2, verse number 9, is one of those verses in the Bible that you can say is a miraculous verse. It is a verse that is testifying to the hand of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the love of God, the sovereignty of God, the providence of God. It is a verse that when we're done, you will never look at the same. Every time you read it, it's like you want to take your shoes off, for you're standing on holy ground. Take the child away, nurse the child, and I'll give you your wages. Let me tell you a little bit about the story, the background of this. This verse was spoken to a lady named Jochebed. Jochebed's name means glory to God. Jochebed is married to a man named Amram. Jochebed and Amram have two sons you might be familiar with. Their first son is, their one son is the name Aaron. I have a brother named Aaron. Matter of fact, last Sunday night, we went up to watch Aaron be installed as the pastor of St. Lucie Baptist and to watch that church be chartered, and what a blessing it was. The very next day, they took my sister-in-law and rushed her to the hospital. You need to pray for her. She has severe preeclampsia and gestational diabetes, and she's 8 months pregnant, and they're watching for her life today, matter of fact. But I have a brother named Aaron, and I love him. Aaron had in the Bible had a brother named Moses. We're speaking here about the life of Moses. Verse number 9, the child mentioned is Moses. The nurse that is mentioned, the lady that's mentioned, is his mother, Jochebed. The command is given by Pharaoh's daughter. She is a princess. The promise of wage, I will show you at the end, is fulfilled, I believe, in Hebrews chapter number 11. The verse comes at a very diabolical and dangerous time for children. For abortion has been mandated in the land of Egypt. It began with the Pharaoh, the supreme leader of Egypt. It was birthed out of his hatred and his despise for the Jewish nation. If you go and read chapter number one of the book of Exodus, you would find that God had so blessed the nation of Israel, and Joseph is now off the scene, and Pharaoh begins to get afraid that the people are going to overtake them, and so he makes a law. He mandates a law, and he mandates an abortion law. His hatred burns so deep, and the Jewish people being so great, he knows he cannot fulfill the law himself, and he knows he does not have enough eyes and enough ears, so he enlists the whole land of Egypt. Here's what he told the land of Egypt to do. Look at the very last verse of chapter number 1. The Bible says, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. So back in these days, when a Jewish couple had a child, if they had a son, there was a mandated abortion that was to be carried out, and the people of the land of Egypt were to make sure that that child was cast naked and unguarded into the Nile River. And you understand from today the dangers that that would be. We find ourselves coming to chapter 2, verse number 1, and the Bible says, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Last week, I preached a message from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. Last week in Romans 13, 1 to 7, we looked at our responsibility as Christians when it came to the state, to governmental powers and authorities. And we found that we were to be subject unto governmental laws. But I took you to a passage in Acts chapter 5 where there is a time when the child of God is to obey God more than they are to obey man. Such is the case in Exodus chapter 2. The law of the land mandated abortion. God's people understood that to be a sinful mandate and a sinful act. And so in reverence and obedience to God Almighty, they disobeyed the command that was given to Pharaoh. So we find, as you know, the story of Moses. They look at the child and they find that he's a goodly and proper child. And when she, in verse number 3, could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime with pitch, put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Jochebed, not going to fulfill some sinful mandate, but going to obey God and trust God, makes a little ark. By the way, the ark is such a beautiful picture in the Bible. It's a beautiful picture of Christ. She makes the little ark and she puts little Moses in the ark and she walks him down to the river and she floats him in the river. I believe she knew that what she was doing, and she did it by faith, that she may have known that Pharaoh's daughter was coming there. And so she said, I'll put him in the river, but I'm not going to throw him in there to die. I'm going to put him in there and secure him, and I'm going to let God protect my child. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 5. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the baby wept, and she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." She knew the law. Then said his sister, that's Moses' sister, to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's, say that word, church. Mother. Went and called her mother. A marvelous moving of God. Wonderful miracle has taken place. Some may say that baby Moses would make a great Hollywood story. We could make a movie how this pauper's child with a death sentence is floated down into the river, and then the Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, comes and she gets him and she saves his life. I would say that if a movie was made along those lines, it would be an improper movie. I would say it would not understand the authority of God's word, because I challenge you and I present to you today that baby Moses was not saved by the hand of Pharaoh's daughter. Baby Moses was saved by the hand of Almighty God. And his mother knew it. Have you ever had such an experience happen to your child and you knew that a certain circumstance may have happened to help it, but you knew God was in it? Maybe your child was at the point of death and needed a surgery, and you submit your child to the surgeon's hand. But the whole time, you know the surgeon is valuable and important, but we're trusting God. And when we're done with the surgery and we get the good news, we don't stop and say, "Thank you, God, surgeon." We say, "Thank you, surgeon. Praise you, God Almighty." Every parent knows what it is, especially those of us that know the Lord, to see through the hand of the physical and to look into the hand of God. And I think that day that Jochebed left that bank, and man, I think joy filled her soul, and she's running to her child and she is excited. And the whole day she's saying, "Thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, for saving my child." I think she was appreciative of Pharaoh's daughter, and I think she had respect for her, but her worship and her praise went to "Thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God." And she gets to the Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter looks at her and says something that's powerful in verse number 9. "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." I think Jochebed heard those words and she said, "Yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am." But I think she took baby Moses, and on her way home, I think she said, I know that I got to give it back. I got to give him to Pharaoh. But God, you protected my child. You gave me this child. I'm going to raise this child for you. I'm going to do my best for Pharaoh's daughter, but I'm raising my child for you. I think that Jochebed understood the order, train this child and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. I don't think she just let that end in Pharaoh's daughter. She took that as a command from the Lord. She understood that her employer was not Pharaoh's daughter. Her employer was God. She knew that God had done a wonderful work in her life, that God had given her a child, that God had protected that child, and God had chosen her to care for this child. And I think she did her best for the Lord. You know, if you read the Bible, and you find something very interesting. Anytime that God is getting ready to do a great moving in the midst of people, or a great moving in the midst of history, or a great moving for his name's sake, God would usually begin by sending a baby. You can go all the way back, if you wanted to Abraham, and God sent him a child, and his child's name was what? Isaac. God sent Jacob. Here, God's getting ready to do a great work in the nation of Israel. He sends Moses. If you go to the book of Judges, God sent Gideon and God sent Samson. You go into the book of the Kings and God sends Samuel. And you go into the New Testament and God sends the baby Lord Jesus. There were times in the Bible days when God wanted to do a great work that God would send a baby with a special purpose that God was going to use. And when God wanted to train a child for a high and holy position, and when God wanted a child to be recognized for a special purpose, God would usually send that child to a godly mother. A godly mother. I want to say a word about children, and I want you to listen to your pastor. Every child is a gift from God. Psalm 127, verse number 3, teaches us that. I want you to understand that every child comes from God with a special purpose. I believe the Bible teaches in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 14, ladies, that you are to marry and you are to bear children. I believe it is the will of God in the Bible that young women bear children. Now, you're to be married. Don't go out there and do it without being married. But we live in a society today where young women get married, but they don't want to have children. They may have a dream, or they may have a goal, or they may have a success, or they may have to do all of that. But the Bible says, not Pastor Hunter, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, says it's the will of God that young women marry and bear children. If you're married and you can have a child, you ought to have a child. You don't have to say amen to that. I know when I'm right, and I'm right. Some of the ladies in the room, you want a child, but God hasn't given you a child. Pastor, what do we do? You trust the Lord. Does he know my heart? He knows your heart. Does he know my tears? He knows your tears. Maybe he has some other child that needs for you specifically to mother that child. Maybe it's foster care. Maybe it's adoption. Maybe whatever the case may be. But it is an improper position for a lady to call herself a Christian and not want to have children so she can facilitate herself on some other path. You don't have to say amen, but you come to this church because you trust me to preach you this book. And that's why we come. Children have a special purpose in our lives. How we need godly mothers today. How we need godly mothers to train our children. In this event, God is getting ready to deliver a people. Moses, one of the greatest leaders to ever walk the face of the earth. And he chose Jochebed to be his mother. Why did he choose Jochebed? I think a couple of reasons. Number one, she was willing. She was willing to be a mother. If you look at verse number 6 and verse number 7, they go to they go and get her. And she has a willing heart. She sees motherhood as her highest privilege. By the way, ladies, motherhood is the highest privilege that you can have on this earth. If God entrusts you with a child, then you need to see motherhood as your highest privilege. I do not care what they tell you on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. I don't care what they tell you on HBO. I don't care what they tell you on CBS. I don't care what they tell you on ESPN. It is a high privilege to be a mother. We need to see it that way. It amazes me. We live in a society today where women birth children, but they're not willing to be a mother. Just because somebody births a child doesn't mean that they are motherly. We need to see it as a high privilege of sacrifice, a high privilege of love, a high privilege to give, a high privilege to be patient, willing to be a mother. Now, let me say something to the men so I can let the ladies breathe just a second. If your wife has taken up the understanding that motherhood is a high privilege in her life, you better love and treasure that woman. Support her, help her, keep her, protect her, love her, praise her, encourage her. She's at home all day with your rugrats. I bought my mom a Mother's Day card. It said something to effect like this. Remember all those things you told me when I was a child about when I would become a parent? Could you repeat those? I need that today. Not only did God choose her because she was willing to be a mother, but he chose her because she was a woman of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23 teaches us that Jochebed did what she did by faith. If you look at that verse, we're going to come back to these, so don't keep your hand in Exodus chapter 2 and look at Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 23 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, you cannot live a life of obedient faith unless you possess saving faith. Moses had a mother who was a Christian. He had a mother that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a mother that had the faith of God in her, and she lived out that faith. The greatest thing you could do in this room, mother, for your children is to be born again by the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people said, we need godly mothers. If we are ever going to have any hope to our country and to our civilization, to the next generation, we need Christian homes. Christian homes need godly mothers. What should a Christian home do? I don't want to take the time to go there, but in Genesis chapter 18, verse number 19, the Bible says God speaks to Abraham. He makes a statement about Abraham. I'll read it to you. It says this, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. When God was getting ready to bless Abraham with children, God said, I know this man. I know that he'll command his children after him. Abraham was a man of faith. He walked in faith. And God said, I'm going to entrust to Abraham children. And God knew that he would command those children in the authority of God's word, but that he would also command them after him, and that they would be tremendous influence and be influential in that home. Now look at me. Our homes in this place, our homes need to be homes where our children are instructed in the authority of God's word and influenced properly by our own lives to love the Lord Jesus Christ the way we do. And God's people would say, we need Christian homes. Here's what God said about Abraham. I know him. What does God know about your home today? I'm going to take just a little veer here, and I'm going to lump dad and mom together. What does God know about you? Does God look at Tom and Beverly and say, I know them, that they will command their children after them. They will walk in the ways of the Lord and keep the statutes. Does God know that about my home? What does God know about your home? We need Christian homes today. Why is our world a mess? The Bible says it's because our churches are a mess and our Christian homes are not strong enough. We need Christian homes. Moses' life, his greatest influence was his mother. She was willing to do what it took to be a mother. And she was also a woman of faith. Now, ladies, I'm asking you as your pastor, and I have the right to as your pastor to ask you this question. Those of you that still have children at home, are you willing to be a mother? Pastor, I'm so tired. I feel like I'm all alone. Pastor, I don't know. We got so many struggles. I've just about had it. If I could get you to see today that God gave you a child or children, special purpose, special plan. And in the mind and heart of God, he said, I'm giving this child to you. You didn't have that child because you had a one-night stand. And you didn't have that child because that's just what happens when two people come together. There's a lot of people that come together and have one-night stands that never have children. You had a child because God gave it to you. And I need you to see that you have been entrusted. You have the greatest influence. Pastor, I don't feel very influential. I know, I believe the devil tries to rob us of that. But you, the God says you are influential. The neat thing about Mother's Day, it's a little bit like New Year's Day. It could be a fresh start. I'm begging you to see how influential you are. What was her responsibility? Look at verse number 9. She was to take the child and she was to nurse it. She was to train the child. What was she to train the child for? Well, she was to train the child for God. That was her responsibility, to take the child, spend time with the child, possess the child, nurse the child, care for the child. And she, in her understanding, wasn't doing it for Pharaoh's daughter. She was doing it for God. Mom, what is your responsibility? It is your responsibility to train your children for God. For God. That's your major responsibility. Now, I want to say something, and I may get a little bit of trouble for this, but I live my life in trouble. I went home last week after preaching the message that I preach, and I thought, God, if they come back next week and look at you, there's not even a place to sit. So that helps me feel comfortable and tell you what I was going to tell you, but I think I just forgot what I was going to tell you. I did forget what I was going to tell you. Train our children for God. That's our responsibility. Help me, Lord. You heard about that young preacher that did what I just did, and he learned in Bible school that, well, that if you repeat your last phrase, that'll help you. So he was preaching on the second coming of the Lord, and he forgot where he was, but he remembered that verse, behold, I come. And so he said, well, behold, I come. Man, nothing. Behold, I come. Nothing. So this time he got real excited, got right on the thing. He said, behold, I come. About that time, buddy, there he did. Slipped right off of that platform, come right down, landed right in the lap of a senior saint in the church. Blood red in his face, so embarrassed. Stands up, apologized. She says, oh, that's okay, Pastor. You warned me 3 times. I didn't move. Train your child for God. I'll get to it. It will cost you to do that. I know what I was talking about. Thank you. I almost lost it. Christian school. That's why we have our Christian school. To help train our kids for God. Mom and dad, you need to look at every area of your life and make sure that every area of your life is training our kids for God. I believe in Christian education, and I'm leading this church to believe in Christian education. Doesn't make any sense to me to bring your precious child up here and let them sing and let them go into junior church and bring them back on Wednesday 2 times a week and let us teach them about God and then put them under the authority of someone that teaches them there is no God. Why would we do that on Monday to Friday? So here, let me just help a little bit. Sometimes people look at Christian education and they see it as weak or meager or doesn't fit a need or doesn't give somebody some kind of education. Listen, the important thing is that your child that God gave you to be influential is trained for him. And we put them under leadership that teaches them things that are against God's word. I refuse to do that. Now, you can do it if you want to. That's not, I'm not commanding you. But in our homes, everything we do should be to train our children for God. Amen. That's why we started our school. I don't know if I told you that or not, but I just did. Number three, what was her reward? See, wages, I will give thee thy wages. It's not talking about physical wage necessarily, although that's what Pharaoh's daughter gave to Jochebed. But Jochebed took this as a command from God. And so, yes, God provides for our home, but I believe there were some spiritual wages that this mother received. And I want you to go to the book of Hebrews. Keep your place in Exodus. We may come back, but go to Hebrews chapter 11. Let me just read these wages to you real quick. Pastor, what is a wage? This was the payment. This was her salary. This is what this woman received because she was that trained her child properly for the Lord. This was God's promise to her. Hebrews chapter 11, let's begin with verse number 24. Would you read the first three words out loud with me, please? Here we go. Ready? Go. By faith, Moses. Wage number one. Moses received her faith. Her faith. Let me explain something to you. I love my neighbors. I live on the greatest street in Broward County. I have the best neighbors. My neighbor right across from me, they built a home over there about the time that we moved in. They've come to church. I hope they're not here today, although if they are, they're going to hear a good illustration. They knocked on the door yesterday and they said, could you come take a picture of our family? They had five sons and I think one daughter. All of them are doctors. Every single one of them are doctors. And their youngest son had just graduated and was going to Texas to take a position as a doctor. And so they were celebrating last night. They were dressed to kill, man. They had suits on. They looked like $1 million. They had all their furniture moved around, and they had to screen up. And they brought me in, and they said, would you take our picture for us? Doctors, you'd think they'd go to Olin Mills, but they asked me to come. And so they're all there. And I'm telling you, Dad and Mom were proud. Pastor, this is so-and-so, and he's a doctor, and he's a doctor, and she's a doctor, and this one's a doctor of the heart, and this one's a doctor of the stomach, and this one's a doctor of internal medicine, and this one's a doctor here, and Pastor, they're all doctors, and boy, she was proud. And I began to take their picture, and I kept thinking, but where are they going to spend eternity? Mom, listen to the preacher. You can push education for your kid. Great. You can want them to be doctors and lawyers or whatever you want them to be. Fine. But the greatest wage to motherhood is that your child receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. That ought to mean more to you than 10,000 doctors that they know Christ. This mother trained her child for God, and her son received her Lord. Payment number two, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Not only did she get the wage of her child coming to faith in Christ, but she also had a child with conviction, her conviction. Moses was able to choose not to follow the world, but to follow God. He had a heart of conviction. It just wasn't his mom and dad's faith. It was his faith. He didn't do what he was going to do just because mom told him to do it. He did what he did because it was in his heart. You know what they're telling us? I go to preachers' conferences and they're pulling out their hair, which is easy for me, but they're saying, what are we going to do to save our generation? Because our kids are graduating and they're going to college, and then they're not coming back to our churches. They're not coming back to our faith. They're moving on and they're becoming progressive and they're doing this and we're losing our kids. What went wrong? I'll tell you exactly what went wrong. Mom and dad didn't do their job. What do you mean, Pastor? That's unfair. No, it's not. It is your responsibility to impart by grace, to live through example, to pray, to plead, to teach, to arrange, to organize that your child comes to faith in Christ. But then the conviction of God's word. So when they sit in a class in college and some professor tells them there is no God, that they can stand up and say, you're a fool. Because the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So you can put as many PhDs if you want to. If you believe there's no God, you're a fool. But our kids have no conviction. Why don't they have conviction? Because I'm afraid there's no conviction in mom and dad. Jochebed, man, she didn't fear Pharaoh. Throw him in the river and kill him. That's like going and saying, going, our kid going to college and telling him, listen, abortion is fine. All this is fine. We can do these things. We can end the life of older people. We're moving that direction. I watched a movie last night. There was a movie on NBC. It was an hour long program. And this guy was saying how it was just to kill the older people. Well, listen, when our kids get out into that community, they need conviction. They need some strength. They need to be able to say, no, God's word says. Where are they going to get that courage? They're going to learn it from dad and mom. The greatest payment she got was her kid stood on her belief. Fantastic. Verse number 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Not only did he have her faith, not only did he have her conviction, he had a biblical worldview. Where do our kids get their worldview? They get it from their mom and their dad. Listen, mom, you're influential in your kids' worldview. Do not think that the teacher or the television or society can replace your influence. All you can do is surrender your influence. But if you will stand with Bible conviction and kneel in prayer and have God's Spirit upon you, your influence can bring them to a biblical worldview. Do not dismiss your influence. Pastor, I didn't go to Bible college. That's probably a good thing the way our Bible colleges are today. But we have the Word of God. Pastor, I don't have enough money to feed them. I don't have enough money to buy clothes for them. They go to their friend's house, they got everything. They come to my house, they have nothing. Pastor, we barely make it. We barely squeeze by. We don't have everything everybody else has. No, but you have Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God, and you have God's power, and there will be a day when materialism will fade away, just like that boy in that hog pen when he got out there and the materialism faded away. He remembered his home, and when he remembered his home, he had a biblical worldview. Don't let some well-dressed woman get on some television show and tell you a lie. You believe the word of God. You're influential. You either practice it or you surrender it. But I'm telling you, you got more power than you think, ladies. Number four, he followed God's will. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses did God's will. And he had vision to do God's will. He had endurance to do God's will. He didn't have fear. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. Where did he get not to fear the wrath of the king? Would you go back, please, to verse number 23? And look at the very last part of that. They didn't throw him in the river, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They weren't afraid of the king's commandment. Moses, verse number 27, not fearing the wrath of the king. See, the mom and dad followed God's will. Moses followed God's will. Mom was influential to say, you cannot trust anything but the will of God. And no matter where the will of God takes you, it's the greatest place. Will it always be safe? No. Will it always be protective? No. Will there be danger? Yes. Is it going to be difficult? Yes. But you want God's will more than you want anything. Where did Moses learn that from? His mother, who was a slave. And he became the greatest leader man has ever known. Don't tell me, Mom, you don't have influence. Her kid did God's will. Look at verse 28. I'm almost done. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. He lived an obedient and blessed life. I'll move on. Verse number 29. by faith. They passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Now, if you walk through a sea on dry land, would you call that a miracle? If you call that a miracle, would you say amen?
Amen.
Her kid had God's miraculous power in his life. Take the child, train him for me. I'll give you your wage. Pharaoh's daughter may have said it to her, and I'm sure there was money that was there. But that was God talking to that lady. And God said, I'll give you a wage. I'll tell you what. He'll be saved. He'll have your faith. He'll be a man of conviction. He'll have a biblical worldview. He'll follow God's will. He'll have an obedient and a blessed life. And he'll see my miraculous power upon his life. Now, I don't know about you, but I want that for my children. If that's what you want, say amen. All right, let me close it by this. Pastor, you make it sound so easy. Okay. Jochebed didn't have an easy time. Let me tell you about her son. He goes to live with Pharaoh, and it's not long after that he grows up that he murders a man. He committed a crime. She was the mother of a criminal. He killed a man. He hid the man in the sand. He thought nobody saw it, but somebody did see it. And they reported it. Now he's on the run. And he runs into the wilderness for 40 years. He's in the wilderness. Some of you are grandmas and grandpas. Some of you, your children are raised already. And some of you, you're looking at me and you're saying, Pastor, I wish we could do it all over again because my kid right now is in the wilderness. What do you think Jochebed did while her kid was in the wilderness? Prayed. Every mother over the age of 55, look at your very young preacher. Your kid may be out of your home, and your kid may be in the wilderness going through tough times, but don't you quit on the word of God. Don't quit. Don't surrender. Don't stop praying. One day Moses is in that wilderness and he walks by this bush and this bush is on fire, but it won't be consumed. And he says, you know what? I think I'm going to go over there and look and see what's going on. And he gets over there and God calls out to him. Your kid may be married, have his own children. They may be going astray. They may be walking in the wilderness. You pray that God put a burning bush somewhere in his life. You pray, God, don't let them continue. Find them. Meet them. Speak to them. I will be in prayer trusting you to do that. It's not easy. It's not easy. Parenting is not easy. I've only been a parent for 14 years. Good night. How did that happen? I just heard that come back there. 14 years. You say, I know parenting ain't easy. You think we know what to do every time? No way. You think we don't cry like babies? You think we stand up here, I pastor this church, in pride and arrogancy, thinking, no, my kids are okay? I'm scared out of my mind. But that takes me back to the word of God and the person of Christ. And anything in our home, train our kids for God. I don't care if they're doctors, lawyers. I don't care what they are. I want them to be born again. I don't care what they do and what they create. I want them to have God's power, God's conviction, God, the love of God. I want them to follow God's will. I want them to marry fellow Christians and others. I messed that up. I want them to marry Christian mates. I want them to have conviction. I want them to have God's power on them. And my wife, the mother of my children, has tremendous influence in that. And so do you, Mom. Stop letting Hollywood tell you you're nothing but a dirty mat. Let God tell you, I chose you. I gave you a special child. I'm trusting you. I'll help you. Let's go.